Proud Mitsubishi. You'll get 7 years warranty, plus up to $1,500 worth of accessories. See your Mitsubishi dealer.
Put your hands together.
It was the birthplace of Triple M Sport way back when.
New era.
Make sure you've got your comfy pants on for the all-new 2020 fresh Triple M Dead Set Legends. Gus Wallen.
The captain.
Dude Bolden.
Dressed immaculate.
Wendell Saylor.
That'll be enough for a penalty.
Because let's face it, Saturday is all right for fighting.
So welcome back.
The Triple M. Dead Set Legends.
Yeah, welcome to the Dead Set Legends. Gus Warland here with Jude Bolton and Wendell Saylor. We're doing it for our mates at Mitsubishi, the Mitsubishi Triton boys. Nothing can frighten a Triton. And Jude Bolton, how are you going, big fella? You are looking at the moment at the leaderboard of the US PGA. How is Jason Day going this morning? He started his round about an hour ago.
Yes, it's tied for second behind the Chinese golfer Lee, and he's tied for second with Berger, Brooks Koepka and Tommy Fleetwood at 6 under. So the leader is on 8 under.
Okay, how's your golf going, mate? Are you playing in some sort of form at the moment, Del?
Yeah, I've played like 3 games in the last 7 days. I had like a month off, which you questioned, but yeah. I had to because I wanted to get back into training.
Okay. But three in 7 days
is really good. But I played at St. Michael's yesterday, and that was enjoyable until about the third hole it started raining, and I felt bad because the blokes obviously paid to play with you, so there was like 44 people there, 11 groups.
Yep.
There was Huey Bowman, Willie Mason. It was good. It was ELAB training golf day. And I said to the boys, I said, surely it's cancelled, but now that we've played, they can't play it again. Glenn Boss was there. It was really good, Deming first.
Tough course too to play.
Yeah, but the rain was coming in sideways and really cold. So
Scotland.
Yeah, I got a prize for the biggest whinger, so you guys would know that. So, but it was
guaranteed. They would have etched that onto that trophy before you even started.
Yeah, but thanks to St. Michael's, it was good, and I'd love to play that golf day again someday.
What a show we've got.
Yeah, it's going to be an absolute cracker. Isaac Heaney, looking forward to speaking to the Swanee. Yeah. Unfortunately, he's not playing at the moment.
I love him.
Sir Peter Volandis, we've got him coming up, a two-parter with him, and Phil Kearns, who's going to bring the 2027 World Cup to us here. It's going to be an absolute cracker show. Flog on night, quick fire footy preview, plus, of course, the Burley Curly and Jude Tackle. Should be a cracker. Coming up next, we're going to talk about all the overnight footy on the Footy Chat.
Another Sydney Saturday morning.
Oh, you ripper!
Now around the track for another lap.
Absolutely brilliant.
The Triple M Dead Set Legends.
Yeah, the Dead Set Legends here with Gus Wallen, Jude Bolton and Wendell Saylor. Let's talk a little bit of footy. Manly lose to the Warriors at home last night, 26-22. Horrible start by Manly. And you always thought they were a chance of coming back. They nearly did, but in the end lost at 26-22.
Yeah, Manly, look, at home, we just know that they're going to get the job done, or you think so. And the Warriors, you think, oh, mate, you know, they're due for a flogging because they've been up the last couple of weeks. But, you know, the Warriors, to their credit, they found something. Manly, you know, they've obviously got a few injuries. And just the way they started, that was a great start for the Warriors. That's how they got to start, with that try in the corner to young Paddy Herbert.
But Paddy Herbert, he's one of
the... Mate, what a good player he is. Was he in the Dragon set-up, Herbert?
Yeah, he comes with the Dragon system. So he came through with Lomax and Tristan and that. So he played fullback in the centres. He played wing.
See what, you'd like him back.
Yeah, but you can't keep him all, but that's the way it is. So Dragons let another one go.
Where do you see Manly finishing at the moment? Like, the injuries are coming, but also you spoke about their starts.
Yeah.
I mean, they started so poorly. There was 0-16 early on.
I think they've got a good enough coach to turn it around. And obviously, Tommy is their big hope. And I still think that they can make the top eight, but they got to start to get back in that winning form, because even when they lose, they don't really get flogged, but they've had one or two sort of big blowouts of late. That's not the Manly DNA.
What about Thursday night football? The Roosters 24-16 over the Dragons. Your son played. I thought he sparked it really nicely in attack.
I thought Dragons started off really well, but Mitch Orbison down that left-hand side, when I saw that, you can't afford to let the Roosters, start like that. Otherwise, they just get their confidence up. But I just thought Luke Keary was outstanding. Lachlan Lamb did a good job. And I suppose even when my young bloke came on, you just sort of want him to do something really good. And I just think the Dragons had their opportunities, but I reckon when Jordy Pereira didn't catch that bomb, your job as a winger or a fullback, once they missed that bomb and Roosters scored, that's when they got the confidence and went away with it. So the Dragons are in it. But yeah, I just thought the Roosters, that they were too good. And well done to the young rookie on debut, who is another junior, young...
Well, from the Dragons?
No, from...
Yeah, no, and a Roosters junior, yeah, you're talking about, but did he come out of the South system?
Because of the Dragons system.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Just okay. Yeah.
What about South over the Broncos, 28-10 last night? Just not getting any easier for the Broncos.
Look, I know the Broncos are trying, and you can just tell they're a side that lacks a bit of direction, but also confidence. And, yeah, to still, like, have those players on deck, some good players back, and still lose like that is disappointing. The Bunnies always looked like they were going to beat them. It was by how much. But I think, for me, there was a nice try down the left-hand side with Dane Gagai, which was nice. But I think Burgess, when he goes through the middle, that's soft, I'm afraid. Mm. There's some real problems there. I know Darius Boyd, he's trying there, and he's been good for him at fullback.
How did you find the Fifita and Cody Walker matchup?
Oh, yeah, I think Cody Walker, he's just playing so good at the moment. The last couple of weeks, I think the Indigenous round, everything around that, Fifita's first game back, he scored a try down that right-hand side there. He'll be better for the run, but just at the moment, I just can't believe that, you know, the Broncos could have the wooden spoon. I'm shattered to think that they're still, you know, in the mix for the wooden spoon.
You can just tell how sad you are and how emotional you are.
But even Alan Langer, like, you talk about one of the greats of the club.
Well, mate, don't go to the pub, mate. How hard is it?
I know
you're going to give it to some coaches in due time, but are you kidding yourselves?
Yeah, I know.
And Wayne Bennett saying he doesn't know the rules. Mate, you're on $800,000 a year. Yeah. You're the godfather of this competition.
Yeah, you've got to know the protocols by now.
Can I say this? What about, like, because I was having a bit of a nap because, you know, I want to get up early. So I have a bit of a nap. Tristan knocks on the door and he goes, Dad, he goes, Vaughan, he's just been stood down. I said, what do you mean stood down? He goes, he went to a cafe and something happened where he put it on. I'm thinking, mate, like, poor Vaughan, can I say this? Mate, Paul Vaughan is so good around the Wollongong area. He does a lot of things. He's out and about.
How recognisable is he?
I know. Like, it was... I don't know.
It's time for a Nescafe, mate. Or make your own at home.
Yeah, I know. It's unfortunate. But Vaughan, you know, he'll learn. And, mate, the boys need him back, so... Yeah.
Sir Peter Volandi's boys. He's coming up next.
Can't
the two-parter.
Yes.
Questions from people that have given us... All the listeners given us questions over our socials. The next 20 minutes. Sir Peter Volandi's here on the Dead Set Legends.
Another Sydney Saturday morning. Now around the track for another lap.
Absolutely brilliant.
The Triple M Dead Set Legends.
This is the Dead Set Legends on Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. It's Gus Warland here with Jude Bolton and Wendell Saylor. And we do the show thanks to our mates at Mitsubishi, the Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton. And now, very special guest, boys.
Our next guest has a personality that's so magnetic, he's unable to carry credit cards. He's the only person allowed to talk about Fight Club. And when he's in Rome, they do as he does. They say his tears can cure coronavirus. Only he never cries. Please welcome His Royal Highness, our saviour, the man, and Dead Set legend, Sir Peter Volandi's.
There we are. We have the knighthood, the man himself on the line. G'day, how are you?
Good morning, fellas. Jeez, that was an introduction and a half. I don't know if I can live up to that.
Mate, you deserve it, mate. What you've done for rugby league and the people in the community, you certainly deserve it, PV. Can I call you PV? Is that okay?
Yeah, you can call me whatever you like, Wendell. Mate.
We've done the impossible. We're getting the game back. People said you couldn't do it. What do you think when you see blokes of Wayne Bennett and Paul Vaughan's caliber doing what they've done so far?
Look, it's disappointing because I think they know the responsibility they have. You only have to look at what's happened in New South Wales in the last couple of weeks at the crossroads. One person has infected 400. One diner at the Thai Rocks has infected over 100. Oh, yeah. So you're taking a massive risk when you go out because you just don't know. And if they have to take that infection back into the bubble, well, it means the whole game stops. So now every player has a responsibility to themselves in the game because not only will they not be able to earn their wages, you know, the future generations of rugby league players won't be able to earn their wages because it'll have a catastrophic financial effect. But in saying all that, the majority of players have done the right thing. They have been conscientious and professional and stayed within the bubble, but like anything else in the community, there's always a couple that don't do the right thing, which can bring the majority down. So hopefully this is a wake-up call for everybody that The, unfortunately, infection is still out there. There's still a risk. And if you bring that risk into your bubble, it could stop the whole game.
Peter, we've lauded you, the way you've been able to just sweep some of the rules in just to, you know, free up some of the league in terms of the six-again rule and things like that. Have we opened up a can of worms in terms of Joseph Suaalii and also Sonny Bill Williams being able to run two contracts? What is your thoughts on that?
Look, the reason I did the two contracts is because I don't believe in prescriptive rules. I think that you basically look at every case on its merits. And in this situation, you had a club that won't play this year, you know, and they're possibly going to go into liquidation. So the contract could be null and void. But if you had to follow the rule, even if the contract was null and void, there's still two contracts. So it just, why would we disadvantage those eight players that were possibly available to come back to Australia by, you know, they're not really employed because the employer can't pay them. If the employer could pay them and they could play, well, yes, we wouldn't have changed the rule to give ourselves discretion. But the way the rule is at the moment, it disadvantages the players and it disadvantages the game. And I don't believe that any rule should be that prescriptive. Every rule should be looked at its merits and have some discretion. And that's what we've done. We haven't changed that rule. We've changed all the rules within the game that are prescriptive and give ourselves the flexibility to judge a case on its merits.
Hey, Peter, my spies tell me that you're a Dragons man. Is that right?
Correct, yep. We've been a Dragons man all my life. And,
well,
and my little boy, unfortunately, I took him to a Dragons Roosters game and he became a Rooster.
So, yeah, I was in the box next to you there. And I was going, you beauty. Yeah. Mate, yeah, well, Peter's son's a Rooster.
But he likes living in the garage, so that's fine.
Yeah. I was going to say, tell him I get some memorabilia or something from Tristan Saylor or something. He could be one of his favourite players. But I've got also, I saw an interview with you a couple of weeks ago, which I love because we see such a side of you that is, you know, you get what you want. But Emma Lawrence here from Triple M, I think it was on Channel 10, she got to sort of nearly make you cry on national TV when you talked about your dad and your mum and what they've done for you and what you've been through.
Look, Emma has got the ability to make you relax and get more out of you than what you actually want to give. And she certainly did that because, look, I just want to be an example for other kids that, you know, I came through the public school system. I got bullied in the playground. So I did it pretty tough through my childhood. And what I was trying to relay there is if I can do it, anyone can do it. You know, if I can go through a public, you know, being an immigrant kid that's gone through the public school system and then, you know, worked hard, and if you work hard, you get the lucky breaks, and that's what has happened to me. I've had the lucky breaks over the years, and I've got to where I am, and I was just hoping that, you know, one kid that watched that, if it could motivate them or inspire them, because we can all do it if we put the work into it.
Peter, if you can just hang around for another break, we've got some questions from our listeners, and one of them is asking about expansion in the NRL and if we're going to get a second team in Brisbane.
Another Sydney Saturday morning. Now around the track for another lap.
Absolutely brilliant.
The Triple M Dead Set Legends.
Yes, you're listening to the Dead Set Legends, and we're talking to the great Sir Peter Volandis.
Peter, wow. If we turn our eyes to racing now, obviously you've banned Victorian horses attending the Spring Carnival and things like that, but also I just wanted to get a comment on Hugh Bowman's penalty. A lot of people have been, you know, outraged in the fact that it was only a six-week suspension for that terrible fall at Rose Hill with Andrew Atkins.
In relation to Hugh Bowman, our stewards are independent and they're autonomous to us, and even though they report to me, their decisions are made by them. Now, what they did with Hugh is they found contributing negligence from another jockey, which made the charge go from a reckless riding charge to a careless riding charge. So it wasn't all Hugh Bowman's fault. There was another jockey that contributed to the situation. And because of that, that then becomes a careless riding charge, and there's a template that they use for careless riding, and that was on the high end of that template. So when you look at all the circumstances and you look at it as carefully as the stewards do, you can see that there was contributory negligence by another jockey, which caused Hugh to shift out and caused the unfortunate accident. So the stewards work within the templates, and that's exactly what they've done here. And, you know, there is two different types of charges. One is reckless riding, which is just, you know, having no regard for your fellow riders, or one is careless riding. And it certainly was not reckless riding because, as I said, there was another instance in the race that assisted in causing the accident.
Peter, we threw it out there that we're going to be talking to you today on social media, and lots of people have got questions for you. We've only got time for a few, and we appreciate your time this morning. Lots of people saying, when are you going to be running for Prime Minister, and saying what a wonderful job you've done. But a couple would like to pick out, firstly, is the introduction of a permanent loan system. It seems to be working well with the Warriors, the Storm and the Tigers. Is that something you're looking at as a game?
Well, that's part of my DNA. I look at everything. Anything that can improve the game, as I did with the two rules and et cetera, we will do. I'm a can-do style of attitude where, well, with my staff, I say to them, give me five reasons why you can do it, not five reasons why you can't do it.
Mm.
So, you know, I'll find five reasons why we can do it. And if it helps the game and makes it more exciting for the fans and is good to the players, we'll do it. And I want to cut all the bureaucracy down that goes with these decision making. And you know, to give you an example, a lot of the reasons that we don't do some of the things is because they want to trial them in the State Cup. Well, as Wendell will know, in the State Cup, the game is a lot slower, and with all due respect to those players, they don't quite have the ability that they do in the NRL. So you're comparing oranges to apples.
Yeah.
And we would never have done the six again because what the coaches wanted to do was trial it in the state game. Well, I don't think that's a real fair trial because, one, the state game is a lot slower. Well, two, that the players haven't got the skills or the abilities of the NRL. So, you know, we will make changes, and if that's one that helps the game, but by loaning players, we'll definitely do it.
Okay, Leanne said, realistically, when and where will expansion take place in the NRL?
Look, at the moment, our whole concentration is on keeping the game going. That's, you know, our total focus is making sure that we can see the season out. At the end of the season, we'll relook at it again. As I said, we're fortunate that we've been able to, you know, out of every negative, you got a positive, and the negative of, you know, of the COVID, the positive, I should say, has been that we've realised that our cost structure is unsustainable. So we need to correct the cost structure. Otherwise, we would have gone broke at some point in time. It was just that the COVID has brought the you know, the train wreck forward. So we are in the process of correcting our cost structure. So when we do that, you know, then we can look at expanding and seeing it. But most importantly, there's got to be a business case to go with the expansion. You just can't do it because it looks good. It's got to financially stack up. And from my perspective, the only team I think that we need is another team in Brisbane where there's a sort of a monopoly there. We don't want to do that without hurting the Broncos or the Titans. So, and it has to be a strong business case, and it can't be subsidised by every other club.
PV, me as an ex-rugby league player, I love what you've done. You've taken away the wrestle. You know, the product's even better now, and that's one good thing, I suppose, about COVID's been. But this is the most powerful thing I think I've heard you say. You talked about wanting to get rid of racism. How do you think we can do that? It's been such a, you know, such a terrible thing for so long, and it's affected so many players and people.
Look, that's one of my passions, Wendell, is to get rid of racism. As I said, I was bullied at school. When I was a little kid about racism, nowhere near what the Indigenous players get. And look, one of the best meetings I had was with the senior Indigenous players. They really inspired me. I was disappointed in myself that I was so unaware of their situation and racism. You know, it doesn't matter if it's Indigenous or, you know, we're all the same at the end of the day. You know, we're all human beings. We've got two arms, two legs, two eyes. And as I said, if I can make it, anyone can make it. So we should treat each other equally. We should not see someone else as being substandard to ourselves, and I hate racism. And you know, if there's one thing I can do in the game that would give me the most pleasure, would be to eradicate racism.
Well, it's been lovely talking to you. We literally could talk to you forever. It really is a very interesting chat, and the whole chat will be on the podcast for people that have missed it as well. Peter, thanks so much for joining us. Congratulations. Cheers, on everything you've done so far, and you've got great supporters in here at Triple M. Any time you ever need to get a word out, we're right here for you. Thanks for your time.
No, much appreciated, fellas, and thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Coming up next, it's the Burley Curly, all thanks to our mates at Paddy's Markets. Jude and I ask Dill all questions around rugby league, and we're going to ask this one. Is Gareth Widdop the answer to the Dragons' problems?
Another Sydney Saturday morning. Oh, now around the track for another lap.
Absolutely brilliant.
The Triple M, dead set. Legends.
Yeah, how good. This is the Dead Set Legends on Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Gus Wall and Jude Bolton and Wendell Salon. Don't forget to subscribe to the Dead Set Legends podcast on the Triple M app to listen anytime at triplem.com.au. Time now for this.
Burley Curly.
Yeah, Jude and I, opportunity to talk to Wendell all about the game of rugby league. A few questions. Go for it, Jude.
Ronadell, after reports this week that Gareth Widdop could be coming back to Australia with Corey Norman heading to England, is he the answer that the Dragons desperately need?
No, they're not. He's not the answer because you can't go backwards if you want to go forwards at the club. So back your young talent, and he won't be coming back because I did a bit of research and they said it's not true.
Okay, what about Todd Payton? Looks like he's going to be appointed at the Cowboys. Is that a good move?
I think it's a great move. Todd is a very good coach, very well respected, and he'll enjoy it up there in North Queensland.
Okay, what about Nathan Brown? Looks like he's going to take the role at the Warriors. Phil Gould's going to be working with him. Do you see that as a good move for the Warriors?
Yeah, I think it's great because they both know so much in and around the game, and Brownie is really good at rebuilding players and rebuilding clubs, and he knows how to work with, I suppose, the Polynesian players, the Island Boys.
What's the advice? What would be the advice for to fix that list over the next period?
Oh, yeah. They've got to play their natural game, which is that second phase, but they've got to do the hard yards first. So mentally, they've got to be tougher through the middle, and then they can play that razzle-dazzle football.
Now, we've had a caller come in, Chris, from Miranda's, asked around Tristan. He said he's seeing a lot that he could like around whether a move to hooker would be good for him. He's seeing a bit of Cameron Smith in him. What do you think?
No, look, I've coached him and I've seen him play through his career. He can play most positions. They've tried him at 9 different stages. I just think with that sort of speed that he's got in the kicking game and that, he's got to be in the back. So I think fullback's his best position, 5/8 his second best position. You can also play in the wing as he did for Queensland 20s and reserve grade last year.
What about Blake Green, right fit for Newcastle?
Yeah, I think he'll do a really
good
job there.
He's straight in the team this weekend.
Yeah, that's perfect. They need him there. They've had some injuries there. He's such a professional. I think he's been to about 6 or 7 clubs.
It's his 7th club.
Yeah, so 7 clubs, and he'll do a good job. And Newcastle need him right now to get their season back on track.
That's the Burley Curly on the Dead Set Legends.
Receive 7 years warranty plus $1,500 worth of genuine accessories on legendary Triton. See a Mitsubishi dealer today.
This is the Dead Set Legends on Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Gus, Jude and Wendell. And now we're talking to this rugby legend.
Our next guest should be gold-plated.
Gold!
And stood outside every rugby union ground in Australia.
And it's the heavyweight championship of the rugby world.
He's the former captain of the Wallabies.
The green and gold of Australia.
He's got 2 Rugby World Cups on his bedside table, making him one of only 20 players in the world to hold that title. And he's in the Australian Rugby Hall of Fame. He's just signed up to bring the Rugby World Cup to Australia in 2027. I mean, if planet Earth is still here then, please welcome Dead Set legend, Phil Kearns.
G'day, Kearnsy. How are you, mate?
I'm great. How are you, gentlemen?
Mate, we are very well. Exciting times, that 2027 World Cup bid. No doubt a lot of hard work ahead, but how exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic if we win it. Our game needs it, and both financially and for the support. And, well, Dell's played in World Cups before, scored great tries in World Cups before, and he knows what a big event it is, and I'm really excited by it. We've got to get, there's 52 votes, and we've got to get 27 of them.
Yeah, Kearnsy, I reckon you're right. I reckon Australia needs it right now. I know everywhere's struggling, but I still go back, and I can remember like yesterday, the ripple effect of what it did for the community, what it did for, and you know, we weren't supposed to make the finals, the quarterfinals. I think, you know, we weren't playing that well at the time, but just, it was like the 2000 Olympics, just the wave of emotion, everyone just gets caught up in it. So it'd be perfect right now.
Yeah, there's a great vibe around World Cups, and, you know, as we know, Australia does big events better than anyone. And, you know, our Olympics, our Commonwealth Games, you know, when we put the tennis on, the Rugby World Cups, we do it better than anyone. And, you know, our game does need it. We've had a bit of a rough trot over the last 5 or 6 years, or even longer, probably the last decade. And we're just getting things back on track now, and this World Cup would be something really special for us.
Kearnsy, we see rugby dominate at a global level. What do you see are the fundamentals that we need to be doing for the rugby at our local competitions?
Well, I think you said the word local, and we've probably gone away from looking after the grassroots of our game, and I know that's where we're going to be heading back to, and Hamish McLennan's talked about the grassroots quite a bit, and one of the great things that we've had in the game is the connection between guys playing in their clubs and then going on playing through the state and then playing for the Wallabies. And the local community get a great connection to those players, and we've just gone away from that. You know, if you look at even, you know, some of the great players, if I go back and I think of a Phil Waugh, who was the ball boy down at Warringah and then played all his juniors through there at Warringah, and then, you know, the locals go down to Rat Park and watch him play, and then they'll go and watch him play at the SFS for the Waratahs and then for Australia. And that community link is really, really important, and it's great if juniors can see that and get that message.
What do you think Dave Rennie's biggest job is going to be to get the Wallabies back on track?
You know, I think is to inject a little bit of flair back into the Wallabies. We've played a very I know Michael Checker tried to move away from it, but a lot of our coaching has been very robotic, and we've gone from a game of flair to a game of, you know, really rugby by numbers. And you'll hear the coaches and you'll hear some of the players talk about I hate those words.
Yeah.
Yep. We got to get that flair back into our game. I mean, there are guys that we had that have been legends, like, you know, Mark Eller or the Eller brothers and Campo and, you know, those sort of players. And let me tell you, there was no process or shape or systems there. It was just outright talent and flair and confidence to use your own ability.
Kenzie, it is so wonderful to talk to you. We wish you so much luck with 2027. We are here for you. Anything you need, brother. So thanks so much for joining us this morning on the Dead Set Legends, because you are a Dead Set Legend.
You are.
Cheers, Kenzie.
I'm going to be hitting you up for some airtime when we're getting close to this bid. Don't worry.
Mate, don't worry. We're here with open arms, big fella. No problem.
All right.
Thanks, Kenzie. Hey, Kenzie, can I just say one more thing, mate? I've got to thank you, because when I came back from my suspension, the Dragons wanted to sign me, and Gail Kelly... she spoke to you, and you said, mate, he's a decent bloke, he made a mistake, and I'm the reason why the Dragons signed me, because of what you said. So thank you.
Mate, absolute pleasure. You're a legend.
Oh, that's lovely. Nice touch. Good on you, Kearns. You have a great rest of your weekend, brother.
All right. Cheers, guys.
Yeah, coming up next is the AFL update with Jude, and we're going to be talking about the Richmond Tigers and, well, groping. More on the Dead Set Legends in just a sec.
Another Sydney Saturday morning.
Oh, yeah.
Now around the track for another lap.
Absolutely brilliant.
The Triple M Dead Set Legends.
The Dead Set Legends here with Gus Wall and Jude Bolt and Wendell Sarda. We're throwing stuff around in the studio. Yeah. And Del, you've taken a dive.
Wouldn't be the first time, mate. staging in the studio.
That was some staging. We'll talk about that with Isaac Kahini in the second hour. But let's talk about the AFL. Let's get an update from you, Jude, the Swannies and the Giants in particular.
Yeah, so the Swans, we've spoken the last couple of weeks around, you know, probably pretty frustrating for Swans fans to watch them at this point, because, you know, they're missing some of their headline stars at this point in their season, but also, you know, struggling to put scores on the board. They kicked 41 points, which is just simply not enough against Collingwood the other night. We saw the Papley incident where he did stage for a free kick and copped his right whack, which is $500 for staging. So we'll ask Isaac Heaney around that as well. But, you know, for me, it's just around getting some game time in these youngsters for the Swans. They need to get 60, 100 games under their belt so they're legitimate, bona fide players, and also find out who doesn't need to be on the list as well. They need to be pretty ruthless at the end of the season and say, you know, not up to standard. We need to get the right people on the list. So this is a chance to find them out, get that game time so there's that synergy and they play a lot of footy together. When I turn my eyes to the Giants, you know, that was a frustrating game to watch in the opening term, a goalless first term for both sides. But then, you know, Essendon just took control of the game. And that's where I see some issues with the Giants. They struggle to move the footy at times. They can get bogged down and they'll chip sideways and they play probably against what talent they have on the list. When they actually are asked of them to lift, they found something and they just went hard forward. They put pressure on the opposition and they came from 29 points down. I thought it was a phenomenal effort in the wet. So, you know, I'm excited for the Giants and the fact that if they finish inside the top eight, which they're sitting seventh at the moment, I think they can do some real damage at the end of season.
What about the groping with the Richmond players? That's been all over. People don't understand.
Yeah, to give some people some context, there was, you know, incident after the Richmond game the other night, and Mabio Chol, a Sudanese player, was being groped by two players, Jaden Short and Nick Vlosten. It's just a terrible look. And, you know, I'm glad that the Richmond Football Club have come out with a statement and said it's just unacceptable in today's standards. You know, whether you see it as horsing around or it clearly made Mabio Chol uncomfortable, and it's just a terrible look. The camera is there. So, I don't know. Del, what's your thoughts on those things? I mean, I get groped by you in the studio.
Well,
it just
happened.
But you like it.
Oh, hang on. Whoa. That's probably an issue. But
that's an HR issue.
I think it's just a terrible look, and, you know, it needs to be stamped out.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think, you know, the boys in and around training when you're mucking around, some guys, you know, are fine with it, other guys aren't. So you just can't do that, you know. It's one of those things. And I remember, you know, when I was playing the John Hopper-Wade situation, like, Gordy always used to give it to me. Gordy goes, you know, if you look at Del, he went back for a second time.
Oh, wow. Okay, more in the second hour coming up in the Dead Set Legends.
Receive 7 years warranty plus $1,500 worth of genuine accessories on legendary Triton. See a Mitsubishi dealer today.